Welcome to our program, Aging, a New Reality, a show that provides insight into many of the concerns that seniors have during their journey in later years. We talk to experts who will share their knowledge on subjects such as finances, nutrition, housing, and health. On today's program, Madeline Corelli will be talking to Professor J.P. Hatala of Flowwork International. They will be discussing helpful strategies for older adults who are looking for employment in the workforce. Now, here's Madeline.
I'd like to take this time to interview Professor J.P. Hatala. John Paul is an author of two books and many researched and published articles, all on job search strategies and the importance of using networking skills as an integral part of job searching. His book, The Job Search Cookbook, provides the job seeker with an innovative approach to finding and retaining employment. The book provides an easily followed step-by-step approach to learning the strategies needed to find work. His book on networking is also a primer on the approach needed when using networking as part of the job search strategy. Professor Hatala is also the owner and developer of Flowwork International, a software development company focused on finding novel solutions for job seekers and those learning new skills. Welcome, Dr. Hatala, and thank you for taking part in this series. And today's topic is really important. It's all about employment, and employment is not only important to young people, it's important to people of all ages. So we know that right now, older adults are part of the baby boom generation, and the biggest bulge of boomers today is now 62 years of age. They may have a life expectancy now of between 85 to 87 years and even beyond to well into their 90s. This means that they've obviously developed a lot of excellent work skills and should have some productive work years still to come. So on that note, we've been hearing a lot about the worker shortage and how difficult it is for employers to find the right fit and the right skills that will match the needs of the organization. So knowing that, how do you see older workers potentially becoming a possible solution to this employer concern and this economic concern?
Yeah, great question. And interesting phenomena we're going through right now in terms of older workers, seniors having to work later into their life just because we're living longer. I guess that's a good thing, but it's also an issue that we need to address. Most likely we need to address it from a strategical perspective, both, you know, government and employers, as well as the senior themselves.
Yes, very true. And we also know that because of the skills that they've developed, that they can be an asset to an employer, an asset to the organization. In what way do you think that because of their learning, their background, their increased skills, how can they be an advantage to an employer?
Well, every employer looks to their workforce for competence, and competence essentially equates to knowledge and skills and abilities they possess. But what brings it to the next level, what makes an individual more competent, is their experience, you know, going through experiences and having implemented and demonstrated the competence required for a given job. And when you've been in the workforce for a while doing a particular type of job, by accident, you could become better just by doing it. Now, it's even better if you've been guided along the way and, you know, you've developed yourself and you made a conscious decision to do it. But I think now employers can take advantage of some competency gaps that they perhaps are missing and fill those gaps with seniors who have the experience and the competence to be as effective as possible.
And what are some of these competency gaps? What are you hearing that employers are feeling is really missing out there in the work world?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest competency gaps, and when we talk about competency, we're essentially talking about soft skills. And if you were to look at surveys done with organizations 10, 20 years ago, they would always respond with technical skills being the most important. And soft skills important, but not near as important. Fast forward to today, and organizations are realizing that soft skills are key to their organization to becoming successful. You know, I mentioned competencies are knowledge, skills, and abilities, but in essence, too, they're interpersonal skills. And I would dare you to think about an organization that you don't have to work with a group of people. And when you work with a group of people, if you're not effective in doing that, you're not going to produce at a level that's in keeping with what the organization is trying to attain. So these soft skills, these interpersonal skills, don't happen right away. It takes time, it takes experience, and so forth. And I think, you know, as a senior, not all seniors, of course, but as a senior, you have at least had the opportunity to develop these critical, important 21st century skills that are key to an organization. When an organization hires anybody and they bring them into the fold, their objective of that candidate is not to disrupt the existing workforce. So you can imagine if you got somewhat of a person who has some challenges with interpersonal activity, what damage they could do. And so when you bring a person on board that's been in the workforce, that has different experiences, not only career-wise, but in their personal lives, you know, you perhaps minimize the risk to some degree of disrupting that network, as long as the employer's process of bringing somebody on board is as effective as can be.
That's really important, because I agree with you. I think someone who's been in the workforce has developed an attitude as well as the skill base to deal with others and to deal with them in a professional way, because they've had years of experience of seeing what works and what doesn't work. What's interesting is that I don't know that employers actually think like this, because I've read a study put out by the American Association of Retired Persons that 61% of older workers that apply for work have experienced ageism. And by ageism, I mean, of course, that they will not be considered for that position because of the age that they are. Why do you think that ageism exists? And why do you think employers have these reservations?
Yeah, and the obvious answer or response to that is for just the economic implications of hiring somebody that's more seasoned versus hiring somebody that's just out of school. It's a lot cheaper, more cost effective to hire in the short term somebody who just got out of school. Having said that, the long term benefit could be not as rewarding. So organizations, I think, for the most part, perhaps never really saw their workforce as the most important component of their business success, but more so ever than before, thanks to, you know, a number of organizations that have best practice in place, they starting to realize that, yeah, if we're going to be successful, it's only based or mainly based on the people that we have in place. And so in the past, perhaps that was something that was done. And moving forward, it's definitely they're seeing that they can't continue that way if they want to remain competitive in the marketplaces that they're in.
Yeah. Do you think there's a role for the job seeker, an older job seeker, to make some of these points to an employer that, you know, to make that part of the interview process and talk about the reservations the employer might have, but to obviously have answers to those reservations as well?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's incumbent upon the, you know, the job seeker, whether you're, you know, a millennial or whether you're a senior, to be strategic about it and put your best self forward. And my advice to anybody who's looking for work is to find out what that organization is looking for in a candidate and demonstrate how you can fill that need. How you find out what they're looking for could be through the job posting, could be by going on their website, could be by connecting to somebody that knows the organization or works within the organization. So it's paramount that whoever it is kind of positions himself in a way that's going to benefit the organization, or more importantly, that the organization sees you as a benefit, sees you as values. And there's definitely ways to approach it so that you could put your, you know, your best foot forward. And the first thing for anyone is to really have a self-awareness of who you are, what you're about, what's your strengths, what assets you have in terms of educational and training background, what experiences, what skills, what knowledge, all of those types of things, but be very clear on, you know, what you bring to the table. So then you could start to fill the gaps for what organizations are looking for.
And you made a point, which I want to pick up on, and that was about your way to finding out more about the organization and the organizational structure and needs would be to connect with someone in the organization, possibly, or connect to someone who knows someone in the organization. And that's really what you term networking. And I know that your book on networking really emphasizes the importance of networking as part of the job search strategy. How would you help a mature worker to network effectively?
Yeah, and we probably need an hour to kind of go through the process, if not more, to go through it. But I think the most important thing when it comes to networking is when you are networking, have a purpose. Be clear on what you're trying to accomplish, from the networking process. And more importantly, feel comfortable with the fact that you're going out and you're requesting help and support. It's okay. We live in a world where networking is acceptable. It's not like 20, 30 years ago, perhaps, you know, with transactional networking was looked down upon. Thanks to technology, thanks to a number of different things, not only here, but around the world, is that networking is okay, as long as you're willing to give something back when somebody comes and asks for you. If you go into it with that mindset, it kind of eases that kind of subconscious hesitancy of reaching out and connecting to somebody and asking them for something. Most importantly, though, I think what I see with a lot of individuals is that when they do network, they don't manage the type of relationship they have with the type of request that they're making. For example, if you're looking for a job and you don't have a relationship with me, don't ask me for a job, because for me to refer you to a job or to think about you for a particular position, I need to know you. So instead of doing that, you could just say, you know, reach out to me and say, hey, I'm connecting. I'm interested in working in the industry that you're from. I was wondering if you had any idea of the future trends of what this marketplace looks like and so forth. So balancing between the type of relationship you have to the type of request you're making is really key. Otherwise, you know, I see it again and again, people making requests for information that are just not realistic because the person doesn't know you.
You know, on that point too, I think is sort of understanding what jobs today might be readily available because employers are so eager to have that quote competency. If there was a way that you could target the type of employment that might be available for mature workers, could you broadly say that there's one type or style of employment, or should it be just whatever they're interested in and whatever skill base they've got?
Yeah, it's probably a combination of the two. You know, there's not one right solution for everyone. Everyone has their own perspective and their own wishes in terms of what they like to do. But I think anything that has to do with, again, stress the interpersonal, you know, the interpersonal, like if you're dealing with customers or, you know, you're dealing with a team, a project group or whatever it may be, you know, perhaps because of your wisdom and your experience and your knowledge and your understanding, you're going to have, you know, a better chance of understanding the dynamics that potentially exist that are positive for productivity and that are also negative for productivity. So that'll be helpful. But in terms of specifically, you know, it really depends on, you know, a number of factors like your financial considerations, what you like to do, you know, in showing up for work, whether it be part-time or full-time, and really think about that and then go out and look for those opportunities to see whether or not they're available. For example, in the retail and hospitality was really hit hard from the pandemic and there was a change or a shift. But as things start to ramp up again, there's going to be, you know, huge opportunities in those sectors for employment, and which perhaps fit nicely with some of the skill sets that seniors have. But it really comes down to, you know, going after something that you can fill your financial requirements as well as what you like to do. But at the same time, it's a competitive market. So you have to be realistic in what you're going after and just keep that in mind moving forward, because the last thing you want to do is not get any feedback because you're applying for opportunities that just not in line with where you're at in your life. It could be very detrimental to your motivation. And that's what it's all about when conducting a job search.
Yeah, I was also thinking that, you know, one of the things that a mature worker could explain to an employer is that they're ready not only to work, but they're ready to mentor the younger workers in some of the skills and attitudes that they have developed over the years. Do you think it would be possible to have a mixed group of employees age-wise in a workplace?
Well, I don't only think it's possible, it is going to be that way for the foreseeable. Just the reality of the mixed demographics, the shifting demographics, not only from age, but race and gender and all those types of things. So if that is the case, which we all believe and know it is, yeah, that's completely possible and leads to the point where you need to be really clear on being able to demonstrate that you're able to work in kind of this mixed environment. You have to support that case with the experience that you have and demonstrate specifically where you were in a situation where there was, you know, mixed generations, mixed races, mixed genders, whatever, and how you dealt with it and how you deal with it and what's your outtake. Be very clear on that if that's the case.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting time for older workers because it's an opportunity looking at new positions, new jobs, new environments. And I think I wonder sometimes if older workers really appreciate that this is the time. This is a really good, opportune time to be looking for work and to zero in on the skills that you developed and to make sure that you know how to network and you also know how to explain your skills and show the employer how you would be of value to that organization. So I really appreciate that your time today, and I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more about employment with you when we meet again. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Madeline.
You have been listening to Madeline Corelli talking with Professor J.P. Hetala. Be sure to listen to Aging, A New Reality next week at this time to hear the second half of Madeline's interview with Professor Hetala on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. Interviews in this series are conducted by Madeline Corelli, technical assistance by Trevor Joyce, production by Kevin Stewart, Olivia Waldrop, and Paige Johnston. Executive producer is Barry Walker. The preceding program has been a co-production of Northumberland 89.7 FM and the Community Training and Development Center.